Welcome to Social Geek Radio. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hi there, this is Deb Evans with Social Geek Radio.
And Jack Munson checking in from the Chicago Social Geek Radio studios. How are you doing today, Deb?
I'm doing well. So I'm just sitting here thinking because we're before we let our guests come out of the green room, we were talking about who's the geek and who's the social on Social Geek Radio. We kind of stumbled on, I don't know anymore.
Right.
I don't know.
We don't have clearly defined roles. This thing's going to be a massive failure.
Yeah, no, cool. I will take the geek hat for right now, and I have a geek it out.
Okay,
so
you wear the geek hat, and
I'll
wear the social
hat. You wear the social.
Okay.
So in my travels in the last couple of days, having some fun, you know, sitting in an airport and trying to look for apps, especially for Social Geek Radio, and I found an app called Ripple. R-I-P-L. And what it does is, you know, we use Instagram or we use Snapchat or I'm loving finding ways to take a picture that, so I took a picture of the group one, group two, group three, group four, you know, at the airport where everybody's trying to herd like cattle to get onto the plane. But if you use Ripple with your graphic or your photo, it makes, the text that you want to put over the overlay, you want to put some text on it and say, you know, here we're boarding, it's kind of animated. So the photo itself is not animated, but the way the photo is used in the Ripple app, it's animated. So it just makes it a little bit more interesting. And, of course, then you save it, and then you can put it on Instagram or, you know, on your social channels. So there's my app for the day called Ripple, R-I-P-L.
Very cool.
It really is fun.
And that's specifically for Instagram, right?
Well, doesn't have to be, no. So I used Ripple to make a picture, and then I uploaded that picture into Instagram and shared it on social platforms. So, yeah, it's just taking a just very boring picture and adding some fun graphics to it.
Got it. So you could use that same rippled image on Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or anywhere else.
Yep.
Very
yep.
cool. Or even just the plain old send someone a photo.
There you go.
Yeah. Great. Cool.
I'm still using Snapchat, though, to make some really cool graphics. So I have to plug Snapchat again. And the grandkids and the grandnieces and nephews are having a blast with it because of the different filters that they have. So everybody should go back and check that
out. The Snapchat generation. There they are.
There you go. So we're done with the Geek It Out. Why don't we introduce our guests and get on with our Social Geek podcast today? So we have
excellent.
Go ahead.
Who do we have?
We have Kyler Patterson, who is customer growth manager with HostGator, which is actually right here in the Houston area. Kyler, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. How's it going?
Very good. So HostGator is hosted, or the corporate office is here in Houston. Is it correct?
Yes, that's correct. We have Houston and Austin offices.
Very.
The main office is in Houston.
Is in Houston. I'll have to go visit. You think I can get a tour one day? If I drop
We might be able to make that possible.
Oh, there you go. You know, you heard it on Social Geek Radio, so I'll have to get a tour. So what we want to talk about today is web hosting. So why don't we let you go ahead and explain, you know, exactly what is web hosting and what does HostGator do for us as for our websites?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, thank you for letting me come on the radio and let me chat with you guys for a few minutes to talk about HostGator. The way I usually tell what HostGator is I kind of try to bring it down to the business example where if you know you want to have a business, you need to have a store and you want to have a sign to tell people who you are and how to find you. Well, if you want to translate that to the internet, hosting is basically your store. So say we would give you the store, we'd rent you out the store. That's where you can put your products, your services, or your platform to speak, whatever you want inside your store. And that would be your hosting. And then the sign is actually your domain name. So, you know, people find you with your domain name, just like they would find you at their store. So say Kyler.com or Facebook.com. Those are domain names. Those would be the signs for your store.
Cool. Very good. So.
So Kyler, tell us a little bit about your role within HostGator and some of the things that you're working on there.
Okay, great question. So I've actually been with HostGator for almost 5 years now. I started out the support roles, answering chats, answering calls, and then I was on a billing team. Now on the marketing roles, I've helped acquire new customers, but now I'm really focused on trying to help our customers grow on our platforms. The way we kind of do that is more products kind of in your hands that will help you, because as we notice, a lot of people are small businesses, and they're coming online, they don't really have an understanding of how all of it works. Like, oh, I have a website, now what? Well, now you can come to us and go, now what? And we can go, oh, well, have you thought about marketing? Have you thought about design? Well, I'm trying to figure out how to get that information to our customers, know, hey, we do offer a large suite of options to help you be successful online, versus, oh, hey, we host you on the internet. It's, hey, we can build your website. We can help you with the marketing service. We can do everything that you pretty much want online. So that's my focus these days.
Very good. So you talked about building a website. So let's just say we've got a listener here that starting a new business, they're an entrepreneur, and they're saying, oh, well, I need a website. All right, I'm going to call HostGator or, you know, look at different hosting services. What kind of tips would you share with them that they should be thinking prior to reaching out to that hosting company? You know, what should they be thinking about as that blank slate?
For sure, that's a very fair question. So I would recommend first, you know, doing some Googling and figuring out what you're wanting. Or do you want an e-commerce website? Do you want a blog? Like, what is the value and the purpose of your website? And then you need to start looking for hosting options. HostGator obviously being one of them, but there are many, many options out there these days. Just Google, hey, who are my hosting options? And you can just kind of find a lot of reviews, a lot of services, and then check them out. Like, do they provide things that you want? Like, you know, 24/7 live support. Can you call them? Can you live chat? Can you email them? And then when you find the information out, test it. Give them a call right then and there. Go, hey, how's it going? I'm just thinking about y'all, and I wanted to see how fast you guys will answer me. Or see what else they have. Like, do they have articles to help you? And then once you kind of figure out who you want for your hosting options, then you need to see what is available with that host to help build your website. And that can be a hard question, but it can also be a very simple question. Usually when you get into the control panels of the hosting options, they usually give you, hey, you can build your website with these different things. So there's things like, say, Weebly, which is a drag-and-drop builder, or another one called a Websi, basically where you can click, hey, I want an image, drag an image to where you want and upload it, or you can use something that's a content management system, which is a CMS, and you can use, say, something like WordPress, where it's kind of drag-and-drop as well. So there's a lot of things that kind of go into your decision, and it kind of sounds like it could be scary, but really just give us or another host a call and go, hey, I need to get started. Help me out. And right. Hopefully that person will be able to help you 1 through 3. You need this. You need that.
Right. You know, and I do have to plug HostGator. I have to say your 24-hour chat and customer service has really been phenomenal for me, because I am not a website designer, but I have built websites, you know, and I did Social Geek Radio. And at the times of day that somebody's online building a website is, you know, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and that 9 to 3 or 9 to 5 hours just doesn't work. And you get the live chat going and it's like, wow, in 10 minutes, fine. You know, I got my answer. Now I'm fine. I can move on to the next step. So kudos to your customer service and the live chat. It really does work quite well.
Thank you. We really do pride ourselves on that. We train them up as best as possible so they can give you that quality service that you need.
And they don't call you stupid. Sometimes there's some of those questions I'm asking. I don't know how to phrase this, but they figure it out. It's like they decoded my question and said, okay, Deb, here's what you do. I was like, oh, thank you.
You'd be surprised. I mean, it was maybe a year or 5 years ago when I was doing it, but you'd be surprised the random kind of questions you get. You're like, okay, what's next? And then the next chat comes in and go, okay, well, I got to figure that one out too. But our guys are amazing at that.
Yeah, it's all good. All good. You would ask those questions, wouldn't you, Jack, as you're building that website?
Yeah, I would. I would be the one that would probably break the customer service person, or at least break their spirit, I think. So, but we'll give them a try. But Kyler, tell us about the social media aspect of what your customers are doing. How can we connect social and all of the stuff that we're typically doing here on Social Geek Radio, whether it's Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and so forth, and how do we connect all of that in with the websites, and what are your clients looking for with the metrics on how the traffic is coming from social media and so forth?
So that's a hard and easy kind of question to ask and answer, because it's hard because there's a large variety of customer. There's some people who know a lot more about hosting and the internet than I do, and then there's some people go, what's right click? And don't laugh, because some people do ask,
no,
what
I
is right click? So people look at different things differently. So when you talk about social, you got to think about what are you going to be on? What platforms are your customers on? I'm a big into advertising on Facebook. And people are like, oh, I don't want to advertise on Facebook, my customers are not there. And I want to bet them, I'll bet you $100 that your customer is there. Like, everybody's on Facebook.
Right.
You can't say your customer's not on Facebook. But as you go ahead and get started, maybe try out the big platforms, you know, Facebook and Twitter and say Instagram, but you'll realize quickly that one platform really does well for you. Say Twitter, people are coming in, they're engaging with you often, and then Facebook, you may be at a like or two a week. So what you really want to start doing is actually pay more attention to Twitter and seeing how you can optimize and scale that better. When you start scaling Twitter and you can kind of, you know what's going on there, then you start looking at those other platforms, because we're all busy these days. You can't, as much as you want, you can't be on all platforms at all the times. You might have to hire somebody for that. And then when it comes to the metrics, a lot of people are still trying to figure out, like, oh, how do I know where people are coming from my website? I know we have something built in called AW Stats, where you can look at, hey, where are people coming from, but which, if you don't have it already, you would need something like Google Analytics installed on your server or on your website, so you can see kind of where they're coming from. And this will really help you out with the what platform you're going to be on, because you can see, like, are the people are coming from Twitter, are they coming from Facebook? Because at the end of the day, like, even though you have a million subscribers on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it all boils down to traffic and customers. So if you're looking at, say, Google Analytics, and Twitter is not bringing any traffic, even though it has more followers, well, where's the traffic coming from? Where are the visitors coming from? Where is the money coming from? And you need to figure that out. Like, okay, well, it actually came from Facebook. Start putting more time towards Facebook. Does that kind of answer your question? Or I go on a tangent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So converting those people from social fans and maybe people who've picked up on some of the content, converting them into some other type of some other category that you would put them in, whether maybe it's customer, hopefully, but at least on their path to being a customer. Let's talk about some ways you can optimize your site to boost up those conversion rates.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it comes down to same thing, like, when you're building your website, what is your goal for it? So when you're thinking about conversions, what is your goal? Are you trying to make them a customer? Are you trying to get their information so you can send them an email so they can become a customer? You figure out what your goal is, and then you need to highlight that clearly on your website. I see a lot of websites where, like, what am I supposed to be doing here? And I see, like, oh, buy this, sign up here, do this, and it's like 20 different calls to actions. Well, if I'm all confused at what I need to do, I don't do any of them. So if you can make the path of least resistance as easy as possible, because I'm big into path of least resistance, if you go, hey, go sign up for my email newsletter, here's how you do it, done. So you need to figure out what you want. Do you want the emails? If you want that, cool, put a banner on there for that. Also, you need to, like I said, path of least resistance, don't require a ton of different information or a ton of different things. Like, oh, I need this, this, and this, and this. What do you need from them? Do you just need their email and their name? Is that all that's going to be good enough for you? Great. Oh, but I need their phone number, too. Do you really? Are you going to call them? No?
Right.
Okay, remove that from your form. Just get their name and email. The easier it is for the customer to give you what you want, the higher chance that you're going to have success. The more barriers to entry you give them, it's going to be a lot harder. You're going to see your conversion rates drop. So that's a couple things. And try to put them in key places. I see a lot of people putting stuff, like a lot of cool tricks out there. Like you can do a click trigger where hidden in the content somewhere, you click a link and it pops up, which is great and cool. But sometimes you just need a very clear call to action, a sidebar banner, even a pop-up banner, even though everybody hates pop-ups, they do work. Have something that's very clear, I want your information, give it to me here, versus trying to have them find it. I'm all for native advertising, but if it's not working for you, you need to give them, hey, I want your information, give it to me. Very clear call to action. And if any of you focus on those things and they're working for you, then you can start looking for cool optimization tips and growth hacks that the experts are doing. But if you're not doing the basics right, those growth hacks aren't going to do anything for you.
Growth hacks. So is there anything that we should be paying close attention to so that Google finds us, so that Google crawls it? You know, it's like that's the real key is that we want, if somebody's Googling home inspections, we want to pop up. You know, what kinds of basic tips can you provide other than what you've already provided to help get that Google ranking? Or things that they shouldn't do so that Google doesn't, you know, maybe it's what you shouldn't do versus what you should do.
Okay, for sure. So right now, Google is making a very strong push on mobile optimization, mobile friendliness. If you were to do a search right now on your phone, you'll probably see the top 10 results are, they're going to be tagged mobile friendly. If your website is not optimized for mobile devices, Google is not going to be too friendly with you. That's an easy way to put it. So you need to figure out, is your website okay for mobile? Are people going to see it? You also got to think about the user experience because Google is big into the user experience. So if they click, go onto your website, if they do find your website and they're clicking around, they're doing things, Google feels like you are actually someone people want to be there, they're going to start showing you a little bit more. With SEO, it's a very, or search engine optimization, it's a very broad topic, and there's a lot of things that can go into it. Say if you are a business, you need to make sure you have some very basic things like a listing on Google. So you can go to Google My Business, list your information there, your name, address, phone number. Some people call it the NAP. So you go in there, put your information on Google, and go, hey, here's who we are. Here's our hours. Here's our phone number. Here's who runs it. So Google has that one signal going, hey, here's who they are. Have that same information on your website so Google can link the two. Like, hey,